I am Kareem Taylor, contributing editor at Promax Media, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are enjoying us, please head over to Apple Podcasts, give us all the stars. This helps other people find us. In today's episode, we take a quick trip to San Francisco to the Promax Media Games Conference, where Nicholas Darveau-Garneau, chief search evangelist at Google, presented his talk, WTF, What's the Future of Marketing in the Age of Assistants? And he says, consumers are more connected and more demanding for more personal, relevant, and useful engagement with brands when it comes to mobile. This gives way to what Google calls the age of assistants. It signifies an intelligent genre of customer engagement where brands must shift from marketing-centric, omni-channel campaigns to customer-centric, cross-channel engagement that's assistive, useful, and additive in nature. How to make it work for you might not be obvious. Let's listen in.
I'm so excited to be here. I love playing games. So thank you for what you do. You're bringing joy to my life and millions of people's lives. I'll really age myself here, but I'll tell you my journey with video games. My first video game was Pong. Like, who's ever played Pong here? Look at this, we've got some older people in the crowd, that's awesome. And then I graduated to the Atari 2600, which was a fantastic platform. And then the Intellivision. Who remembers the Intellivision? Was that thing pretty cool? The Commodore VIC-20, the Commodore 64, the TRX 180, and then eventually to the Xbox platform. And now I mostly play one game. I don't have as much time as I used to, but this is the one game that I play. Rocket League, and just when I think I'm going to get the champ one, I'm like, you know, Platinum 3, I'm playing well, it just keeps improving on me every time, and I start going down again, so I'm back to playing Diamond 2 now, or even Diamond 1, so I don't think I'll ever get the champ one, it's too hard, but thank you for what you do. It's bringing a lot of joy to people's lives, and it's brought a lot of joy to my life, so I'm really, really glad to be here. Google's chief search evangelist, what does that mean? I have the privilege of working with many of Google's top advertisers to help them in their overall digital marketing strategy, whether it's large retailers or large travel agencies or multiple game companies, movie studios, and TV studios as well. So I've helped many studios launch new games or new shows or new movies. And what I thought I would do today is share with you some of the high-level best practices on how to be successful at doing that. And I'll take the example with Google, but the same practices apply to other marketing platforms as well. We'll probably have time for questions. I heard you're a bit of a shy crowd, but I don't believe that for a second. So if we have time at the end, I'll take some questions, and if not, then I'll stay behind for a few minutes if you have any questions to ask me. So let's talk about the consumer first. There's a radical shift happening in the last few years about consumer behavior, and we call it the age of assistants. What does it mean? And consumers are incredibly demanding, impatient, and want every experience to be as good as the experience with Lyft or Uber or with Amazon. I mean, have you ever felt this way, by the way? You order a Lyft or an Uber, it tells you 4 minutes, and then a minute later, it's still 4 minutes, you're like, come on, you're killing me. Like, how impatient can we be, right? I mean, for those of you who live in the Bay Area, I started taking Ubers when it first launched years ago because taxis would take 45 minutes to an hour to show up to your place if they ever did. So now here we are complaining about a minute or two here on the forecast of when the taxi is going to arrive. That's the most important thing, I think, to keep in mind is that the consumer has really changed a lot. So I'll share with you a few interesting stats. And this is in the U.S., I mean, this is really hard to believe, but from 2010 to 2015, the number of consumers visiting stores in the U.S., like foot traffic in retail stores, is down 60%. I mean, 60% in 5 years. Yet, physical store sales, not including e-commerce, this is just sales in the U.S. in physical stores, is up significantly at the same time. And so here's a riddle. I mean, how can you lose 60% of your customers and still be growing? And the answer is, we don't leave our homes until we know what we're gonna buy, right? So the the kind of percentage of store sales were touched by online research has gone during the same time from 5% to 64%. So the consumer behavior used to be, I go to a store, ask questions, and buy stuff, to I research online on numerous platforms, and I only go to the store when I know I want to buy. This is a radical, radical shift in mentality, and I think we all know that we're doing this ourselves, but we don't always understand that everybody else is doing it too. This is true in multiple industries. The car industry, for example, the number of dealer visits that a consumer in the U.S. goes to before buying a car has gone from 5 visits to fewer than 2 on average. Like, we only go to the dealer when we know what car we're going to buy. We have the printout of the exact make and model and all the trim that we want, and we just want to haggle over price. Radical shift in behavior. And what that means is you have to win the moment when the consumer is researching. You obviously have to make great games, the most important thing that you can do, but you have to be there when I'm asking what I should buy. And by the way, if you look at the search queries on Google, obviously some queries are for some games, you know, Fortnite is a big query right now, but many of the requests that people have of the search engine is, show me the good games for 2018, or what's really trending on Xbox right now. So people are really looking for help and looking for advice and don't know what they want to buy. In the movie industry, 61% of movie ticket purchasers don't know what movie they're going to buy until the day of. And then they go online, do a few searches, and buy the ticket. And if you're not there, when they're looking for the movie, you have a really good chance to lose that sale. So it's incredibly important to be there when the consumer is doing that online research before they ever go, if you're selling physical games, for example, even before they go to a retail store. It's not enough to have that shelf space and the marketing. You have to win that research moment. And there's a new phenomenon over the last 2 years that, you know, has taken me by surprise, frankly. This was really true for purchases of items that were relatively expensive, cars, obviously, televisions, trips. But now we're seeing this rapid rise in searches for very inexpensive things, right? I mean, best toothbrushes, searches are up 100% over the last 2 years. I mean, best umbrellas, best travel pillow are up 300%. But I didn't know there were that many travel pillows. It was that hard to buy. But that behavior that we have as consumers has gone down all the way down to purchasing even a toothbrush. We don't buy anything, even a $5 item, unless we research it and ask tough questions of the brand. So certainly true across, you know, a $50 game or even a 99-cent mobile game. We're also seeing some really interesting things in terms of what's trending in terms of searches. Again, over the last 2 years in the U.S., the number of searches for same-day shipping are up 2x. Last-minute travel is up 1.5x, and open now is up 300%. So I'm going to research stuff, even a toothbrush, and I want it now. And I want it now. Please give it to me. Very demanding, very high expectations. And here's a pretty incredible stat for those of you who have a mobile website where you do marketing of your games. If your site takes more than 3 seconds to load, you'll lose half your customers. I mean, think about this. Like, you know, I'm on my computer, I'm on my mobile phone, I enter a search, I find you, and then this thing travels at a speed of light across a cable for 1,000 miles, hits your website, comes back to me on my phone. And I get pissed if it doesn't, you know, if it takes more than 3 seconds. I mean, we really are being tough with our brands here, but it's just the reality. The consumer is incredibly impatient, and on average, it takes 15 seconds to load a mobile site in the U.S. And I've got bad news for everybody. The people that we love, gamers, are actually the most demanding of the most demanding of all. Like, under every category of, like, how demanding can you be, they'd chart in the top. So, for example, when you're marketing to them, they expect your marketing to be entertaining, to follow their passions, to be personalized, and to be really informative. Like, trying to put, you know, this amount of information and entertainment into a 30-second ad, it's pretty hard. So how do you, as game marketers, convince these incredibly demanding and skeptical and gamers to buy your game? Well, first, you have to make the experience really wonderful. The game, obviously, is by far the most important, but the whole experience, from the time I look for you, whether it's be on Google or Facebook or somewhere else, and I find you and I click on something and I land on your site, how is it to find reviews about your game? How is it? How quickly is it to find a trailer and to preview the game? How hard is it to find where to buy the game? Can I download it right from your site? You know, how hard is this? Act like a consumer and try your mobile site and see like how easy or hard it is to do. For example, here's another stat. If you're asking people on your mobile site to actually enter their name or address or anything like that with their fingers, the conversion rates drop significantly versus hitting like a Google Connect button, so I don't have to enter any information. How quickly can I go from finding your game on Google to actually getting your game? And one of the advantages of these mobile games where you're taking off so quickly is it's nearly instantaneous. It takes a minute. So ask yourself that question. How quickly and how well do I serve that need of the consumer to deliver my game to them very, very, very rapidly and very well? Here's a pretty incredible example. If you have a chance to go and check it out, Alibaba in China is revolutionizing how cars are sold. I'll explain to you quickly what they're doing. You see a car on the road that you like. You take a picture of it with your phone. You upload it to Alibaba. It figures out what make and model it is. You take a selfie. So it now does a scan of your face. And you make an appointment to go test drive the car whenever you want. And then you show up, and I kid you not, at a car vending machine. Right, you take your phone, and you just enter a couple of pieces of data. It scans your face. A car comes down from a conveyor belt in this car vending machine. It gives it to you. You test drive it for up to 3 days. And if you don't want it, you can come back and bring it back. If you want to buy the car, you hit one button, and you bought it. I mean, how different is that from the current experience of buying a car? Push yourselves to make your buying experience as good as that. Truly magical and extraordinary. Now, on the other end, I mean, how do you communicate with these incredibly demanding gamers? I mean, how do you put the right ad in front of the right person at the right price at the right time in this very complicated world of hundreds of millions of searches and YouTube videos and Facebooks? Like, how do you optimize all this? And the answer is machine learning. So make your experience wonderful is number one. Number two is work with all of your online marketing partners, and I'll give the example of Google. Call your Google marketing team and ask them to really help you automate what you're doing with Google using machine learning. So let me share a little bit of machine learning. I know there was a session before, so I won't go too much into it, but I wanted to share a couple of things with you. Who's familiar with AlphaGo? Okay, not that many people. I'm a little surprised. So the game of Go is the most complex board game ever invented. It's 3,500 years old, invented in Asia, and it's more complex than the number of atoms in the universe. It has 10 to the 170th permutations, and there's 10 to the 89th power atoms in the universe. And it was thought to be either impossible to crack from a machine learning perspective or decades away. And a team from Google was able to beat the world champion Lisa Dahl 4-1 last year. A seminal moment in computing science and machine learning. And the way they did it, by the way, is by uploading hundreds of thousands of games from the internet, from human players, really high-caliber human players, and learning from that, and then playing against itself to the point where it became as good as the world champion. What happened next, I think, is even more interesting. Once the team beat the world champion, they said, you know what? What would happen if we did not upload these games from human beings? What if we had the computer learn this highly complex game just by itself? Like, we'll teach it the rules, and it will have it play as a beginner and just play against itself. Can it learn as well as if we gave it all this data about human professionals? So the computer learned by itself from a beginner to a really high-level player, and 40 days later, this version of AlphaGo, AlphaGo Zero, that had no human knowledge, beat the first version 100 games to zero. So it turns out 3,000 years of accumulated human knowledge was bad for the computer to know. This is a powerful statement, right? the machine was better off learning on its own because it wasn't being directed to the mistakes humans have made historically, and it was having new insights by itself. And then, for fun, the same team took this algorithm, AlphaGo, and taught it the rules of chess. And again, same thing. No games of chess were fed to the algorithm. It just played against itself from a beginner to a much higher level player. And I kid you not, four hours later, they put this version of chess online against the number one computer chess program in the world, Stockfish, which is significantly better than human chess players. And 4 hours later, AlphaZero won 28 games to zero. So here's a computer that learned to play chess by itself at superhuman level in 4 hours. So I bring this up because I want to really emphasize that this technology is working today, and it has incredible impact, and it's changing all of marketing and certainly all of Google marketing really quickly. And adopting this technology will have significant benefit for you in your marketing strategy. I know my colleague Damien before showed this example, but I'll show it quickly. This is how a computer algorithm learns to play a game. This is Breakout from 1976, which I didn't know, by the way, was developed by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, which is pretty cool. After 10 minutes, the computer doesn't know what to do. It's just learning, but it's missing the ball a lot. After 2 hours, it figures out by itself. Again, it doesn't know what the game is, by the way. It has no idea that it's supposed to hit the bricks. It's just seeing the score go up. After 2 hours, it figures out that it should hit the ball. It won't miss the ball ever again. And after 4 hours, it figures out again, all by itself, that the most efficient strategy is to go behind the wall and to break the bricks, which I figured out, too, as an 8-year-old, right? I think all of us figured this out. But it's kind of cool that a computer figured out the most efficient strategy to do this. And now that it's figured this out, it will always play a perfect game. You change a cartridge from Breakout to Asteroid or Biz Pac-Man or whatever game you want, and it'll do the same thing and learn the game perfectly over time. A couple more examples of machine learning. Google self-driving car, so I'm sure you've been reading a lot about it, and the car drives quite well. It doesn't have, knock on wood, it hasn't had accidents for a long time. But it does have an issue that we're still working out, which is it has what we call disengagements. When it encounters a situation that it's not quite sure what to do with, and it pulls over safely because it wasn't quite sure what to do. And last year that happened every 1,000 miles, which is pretty good, but arguably, you know, you could argue maybe not good enough. And you know, in order to improve that, we would drive the car a few million miles a year to encounter these strange situations and have the car learn on the roads. And a brilliant engineer, and this is actually a detail in The Atlantic, a brilliant engineer had the idea to build a simulation using machine learning so the car can drive itself inside the machine. So last year we drove this car a few million miles on the road, but a few billion miles inside the machine. And the car improved 500%. So now the car disengages or pauses every 5,000 miles, which one could argue is certainly close to, if not good enough, for commercialization. Here's another example, a business example of machine learning. And again, this is a public example. AXA, the car insurance company, has a pretty obvious business problem they're trying to get better at. People crash their cars. And if you're a car insurance company, you want to be able to forecast that better than your competitors, because if you can do that, you can price better and you can market better. So using AXA's data they already had, nothing new, and using our machine learning team, we were able in a few months to get to a forecast rate of 78% at the individual customer level across Europe who's going to crash their cars. Now imagine you're the CMO or CFO or CEO of an insurance company and you have that crystal ball on your desk and somebody else doesn't. The things you can do with that crystal ball that are so powerful. So we're seeing every day really powerful applications of machine learning have dramatic impact on businesses. And what I usually say is that if we can forecast who's going to crash their car before it happens, we can forecast who wants to buy a game. Right? So, okay, so how do we sell more games now? Finally to the punchline, what do we do? And more and more executives are asking us this question. Look, you know, love Google, it's fantastic, pretty complicated. Why do I have to learn all this stuff? Keywords and bids and like targeting this way and that way, it's so complicated. why don't you instead learn my business, learn my economics, learn what I care about? For instance, I'm willing to pay $12 to sell a game or $2 to download a game, whatever that you care about, and then use machine learning to make me more money. And that's where we're going. We're really actively and as quickly as we can try to automate everything that we do to make it simpler and to make it hit your business goals. And in game, from a gaming perspective, we've actually done a lot of this. And the formula in terms of how to launch a game, whether it be a mobile game or a PC game or a platform game, is actually pretty well understood. For example, this is a pretty recurring pattern of the searches for a game that people do on Google based on the timeline of a game, from the first announcement trailer all the way to launch, all the way to tips. So we have a team of Google from Google here that Erica leads, and this team has done a lot of this and is very, very good at launching games. So we have a lot of practice doing this. And the way we do it is across all of our key properties with Google Search. People are obviously looking for either your game by name or just games in general. And we get billions of searches a year on Google Search. On Google Play, or App Store, if you have a mobile game, where people download tens of billions of games a year. And on YouTube, where we get hundreds of billions of game video views a year. So across all of these platforms, we can help you sell your games. And we can do this across all types of games. So if you have a mobile game, we have a product called Universal App Campaigns. This product is 100% automated using machine learning. So this is how we work with mobile game developers. They call Erica, or they call me, and they tell us, look, as long as people download my game for less than $1.50, or they register for $3, or they get to level 11 of my game, because that's where I make the most amount of money, and I'm willing to pay $5 for that, whatever economic makes sense to the game developer and whatever action they're trying to drive, we do that automatically. We create the ads, we buy the keywords, we create the videos, we do all of the right targeting automatically to deliver that action at the price per action that the game developer wants. And we announced recently that this will be the only way going forward for game developers to work with us. They can't go and buy search advertising on their own anymore, because this outperforms by 140%. So for those of you who want people to download a mobile game, just call your Google rep, tell them what you care about, the economics that matter to you, and we'll automate the whole thing. And this is working today. If you are trying to sell physical games, whether it's in an online store or in a physical store with your retail partners, we have a tool that's in beta that's about to launch called Universal Shopping Campaigns. Very similar to Universal App Campaigns. You upload your games, right, your SKUs with the price and a description and images and trailers, anything that you want. And again, we do 100% of the work for you. We buy the search ads, the YouTube ads, the Gmail ads, the ads on our display network fully automatically. And we sell your game at the price you want to sell it at. So imagine calling Erica and saying, I'd like to sell this game on my own e-commerce site or my partner's site, and I'd like to invest no more than $12 to sell this game. We can do this today. And lastly, if you are trying to sell a downloadable game, whether on Steam or on Xbox or PS4, we can help you with that as well. This one is not fully automated. There's still some heavy lifting to be done manually. You still have to buy, search, semi-manually, if you will. We have a lot of machine learning tools, but it still requires you to do some heavy lifting. We're trying to make that easier. But we have two fully automated tools now that are pretty amazing. One called Smart Display, where you give Google a bunch of banners, and you tell Google like the price you want to pay per download, assuming that you can measure that, right? As long as you have a closed loop system where you know what's happening and people are downloading from Steam or PS4 or Xbox, you're able to actually get this data and figure out a download actually happened, and you share that with the machine learning algorithm. So Smart Display automatically buys banners for you across the entire Google network and downloads games at the price per download that you want. And then for the first time since I've been at Google, YouTube is actually working really, really well for direct response advertisers as well. So you can put 4, 5, or 6 ads on YouTube and say, hey, for this particular action, whether it's, you know, somebody giving me their email on my site or somebody downloading a game on my site or whatever action that you can track, will actually hit that action at the price per action you want. Basically, call your Google rep, tell them what you want, and have them create as automated a solution as possible to deliver what you care about. And for some of you, it'll be fully automated. For some of you, it'll be semi-automated. But we're trying to automate the whole thing going forward. We can do this across multiple types of games, and we can do this today. And we've done this a lot, and we have lots of case studies, so I'll kind of go through those quickly. These are kind of 3 case studies that are public, but we have many, many more than that. Quickly in summary, automate. Use machine learning on Google to get you better results. If, you know, a few months from now you find yourself picking keywords manually or like trying to manually reach users on YouTube as opposed to having the machine do it on your behalf, kind of step back and ask yourself why you're doing this. The machine will typically outperform what you can do manually. Number 2 is, like, we can send you consumers on your mobile site, but you really have to speed up the site and make the site super easy to use. Otherwise, you're going to bounce off the site. So it's really important to make the journey, the customer journey, really fantastic. And number 3, you need to measure something, right? Measuring an app download is easy because we can measure it. If you can't measure what you care about, for example, if you don't have a way to close the loop between a click on Google and somebody buying a game in one of your retail partners, or if you can't measure when somebody actually downloads a game from one of your download partners, we can't use a machine to automate that, right? We can only automate what we see. So try to find ways to either get the data so that you know when something good happened or proxy that data. I'll give you an example. I work with a lot of institutions of learning, for-profit institutions of learning, and they get leads from Google. I'll pay $50 or $100 to get somebody who wants to become a student. People fill out a form, right, and then it takes 100 days to become a student. They have no idea if they get a student or not. They just pay for leads, which is not as good as paying for a student. You'd rather say to Google, I don't want to pay $500 per lead. I want to pay $2,000 per student. And now some really clever institutions of learning have figured out how to predict whether or not somebody will become a student with very high accuracy. They're using data and machine learning, or a very simple way, they actually call the students and ask 5 questions, and based on the answers to those questions, can predict with very high accuracy who's going to become a student and who won't become a student. And you feed that data back to the machine learning algorithm and say, yes, I sold the game, or yes, this person will become a student, and the machine can automate that. You'd much rather automate to a game sold than to anything else. So if you can predict if you're going to sell a game, you're way better off with a machine learning than if you cannot predict that. So here's the question that I get, by the way. Hey, Nick, if everybody's going to be using machine learning from a marketing perspective, who's going to win? Or like the machine will compete against the machine, right, in the Google auction. Like how am I going to win? It's a fantastic question. So first and foremost, if you have more time to dedicate to making the game and less time having to play around with the Google platform, for example, making the best game possible is still the most important thing. But we're seeing a lot of game studios now trying to monetize better. Like if you can make more money per user than your competitors, you can win in the auction on Google, right? Because you could pay more per user. So if you can make $4 on average per user and somebody else can make $3 per average per user, they're going to outbid you in the auction. So there's a lot of work happening and making as much money as possible whenever you acquire a user. That way you can win on the other side. And thirdly, there's a lot of work happening in lifetime value forecasting, right? Mobile games is like, it's incredible. Like fewer than 1% of consumers drive 95% of the revenues. So if you can forecast who that user is going to be and somebody else can't do that, you're going to get those users. When it comes to PC games or platform games, same thing, right? Can you forecast, you know, on Rocket League who's going to play longer, who's going to buy more crates, and who's going to do that? And if you can do that and forecast it, you can tell the machine learning algorithm, this is a great user over time, and this is going to be an average user over time, bid higher for this one and that one, and you get more of the good users. So to summarize, automate. Use machine learning. Make your journey incredible, And then measure ideally when you sell a game. If you can't get there, get as close as you can to it and feed that back to the machine. And then lastly, try to make more money per user and try to have a strong point of view on who good users are and who kind of average users are and feed that back to the machine again. That way Google will get you more games sold, will get you better users at a price that makes sense, and you'll make a lot more money. Thank you very much.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekire-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.